TED Audio Collective.
My mom has retired twice. First in the spring, when her colleagues saluted her 20-plus year career with gifts and praise and lots of flowers. But then, she continued to work on contract for a few months. So we celebrated her second retirement just a few weeks ago when she officially turned in her company laptop and traded her early mornings for leisurely days and whimsical travel. My mom's double retirement got me thinking about how we take care of our senior citizens once they've wrapped up their years in the workforce. It's a big question, and things might look a lot different for me when I decide to retire than they do for my mom today. In the U.S., economists and policymakers have been sounding the alarm on the growing baby boomer retirement crisis. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, people born in the mid to late 1950s, aged 65 years or older, have been departing the workforce in droves in the past decade. And that trend is only going to continue. An estimated 75 million boomers, or 17% of the total population, will be of retirement age by 2031. Without taking any action, this potential loss of millions of workers will have a big impact. Social Security benefits will eventually tap out and won't be nearly enough to cover total living and care needs. Longer lives means we will have extended healthcare needs. And on top of that, we'll continue to see a declining fertility rate as millennials and Gen Z opt out of having children or simply can't afford it. But some experts are wondering, instead of retiring and leaving work altogether, what if older workers were given the opportunity to continue to contribute to the workforce? Can we offer them the technology to keep working for longer? And is that choice even an ethical one? I'm Sherelle Dorsey, and this is TED Tech. Economist Piyachat Piamsawat takes us to the TED stage to push us to think past our biases against the elderly and what their return to work could look like today and in the future.
Hackers and cybercriminals have always held this kind of special fascination.
Obviously, I can't tell you too much about what I do.
It's a game. Who's the best hacker? And I was like, well, this is child's play.
I'm Dina Temple-Raston, and on the Click Here podcast, you'll meet them and the people trying to stop them.
We're not afraid of the attack. We're afraid of the creativity and the intelligence of the human being behind it.
Click Here, stories about the people making and breaking our digital world.
AI machine.
Satellite. Engine ignition.
Click here.
And liftoff.
Click here every Tuesday and Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.
So by the year 2050, there are going to be more than 2 billion people who are older than 60 years old. And it has been estimated that around 80% of these 2 billion people will live in low and middle income countries, which is roughly the developing countries. It is currently a common belief globally that senior citizens should not work, do not need to work, and therefore there's no reason for companies to create jobs for them. I think this kind of thinking, the thinking that senior employment is inessential, is actually a seed of a major problem that could impact a lot of lives, especially lives of people in developing countries. Imagine a 50 years old living in a developing country. The chance that this person will work later on will be slim. So this person is not going to invest in their skill, might not even invest in their health because there's no return from this investment. Then at the age of 60, this person is going to stop working because it's a common thing to do in these countries. And then after that, many bad things could happen. For example, this person might not have enough saving or maybe no saving at all, and now there's no more employment opportunity. This person might feel lost, feel hopeless, feel lonely. This person might even feel like there's no purpose to continue living. So it seems like for many people in developing countries, there's going to be suffering through the process of population aging. Is there anything we can do differently? For me, as an economist who has been working on this topic of population aging, especially in the context of developing countries for many years, I have been puzzled by these questions. But I think I've got an answer. I think the best catalyst that we can use to break the negative aging spiral and unlock the power of population aging is to create something called senior employment technologies and use it to democratize senior employment. What is senior employment technologies? It is a technology that can be used to reduce or remove physical and cognitive barrier for work for senior citizens. Like people wearing glasses today, and we use it to, you know, erase or remove our vision problem. Senior employment technologies is something that we can use to, you know, transform senior employment from scarcities to abundance. But unfortunately, this aspect of technologies has been overlooked by a lot of people. When we actually think about it, you know, senior living assisted technologies are quite common, but not so much in terms of senior employment technologies. And in the context of, for example, developed countries, these technologies do exist in some extent, but in the context of developing countries, these technologies is largely non-existent. So if we could create senior employment technologies and use our imagination to think about what it could be, what would it be look like? Let me give you guys a couple of examples. The first group of senior employment technologies is something that can be called physical augmentation technologies. There are two types of physical barrier to work. The first one is physical barrier at work. So as we age, we tend to lose some of our physical abilities. For example, we lose our muscle strength. We might lose our hand and finger dexterities. Now, let's imagine the possibility if we could create cheap and accessible exoskeleton technologies in which it is a suit that senior citizens could wear, and this suit can be used to augment, for example, trunk muscle, and senior citizen can actually use it to lift something heavy, but it doesn't feel that heavy. Now, if we actually think about it, this aspect of technologies could be pretty important in the context of developing countries, because a lot of people in developing countries actually using their body or their labor a lot for work. Next, let's imagine a possibility if we could create cheap and accessible collaborative robots, or cobots in short, which is often in the form of a robot arms. And these robot arms can be used as an extra steady hand that, you know, senior citizen can be used to recover their hand and finger dexterity, especially for work that require precision. One interesting use case for this could be for something like, think about senior surgeon in developing countries, in which we all can agree that, you know, we wouldn't want, you know, a surgeon with shaking hand, right, to doing anything near our body. But, you know, these technologies can help, you know, senior surgeon with amazing skill, amazing knowledge, to still, you know, make significant contributions. And we know, you know, in the period of population aging, surgeon, doctors, you know, will be in great shortage. The next physical barrier to work is the physical barrier in getting to work itself. So as we age, things like getting stuck in traffic or being in a, you know, congested public transportation for so long or need to take long distance, long walking distance, you know, could be a major, you know, barrier to work for many people, for many senior citizens. Now, if a work does not require physical presence, let's imagine the possibility that a technology like remote working technology, such as, you know, Zoom or maybe in the future, Metaverse, can be used to completely remove the journey to work itself and allow senior citizens to work from anywhere, anytime, or maybe in any countries. If a work does really require a physical presence, let's imagine the possibility that a technology like, you know, smart city technologies, that one aspect of smart city technologies focuses on, you know, optimizing city transportation resources by collecting data, information, and then, you know, from sensors or from cameras, and use it to improve the journey to work for senior citizens so that their journey to work can be better and safer. The second group of senior employment technologies is something that can be called a cognitive augmentation technologies. So as we age, we also tend to lose some of our cognitive abilities. For example, we tend to lose our ability to memorize things or our abilities to compare pictures, objects, which is called perceptual speeds. Let's imagine the possibility that maybe our cell phone, our laptop, or maybe a virtual reality glasses can be equipped with cognitive augmentation software powered by artificial intelligence, which can be used as a companion brain. So in the future, this device can be used to help senior citizens, senior worker to show them information, work-related information as needed, so they don't need to memorize everything, which would be great for me right now too. And help enhance, for example, perceptual speeds when senior workers, senior citizens need to identify objects or finding defects, and they can actually make the final decision better and faster. Of course, beyond physical barrier and cognitive barrier that I have been mentioned, we still need to find a way to remove social barrier to work, which is called the ageism beliefs. It's the beliefs that senior citizens are always less productive than younger workers for any kind of occupation. I think senior employment technologies can take us one step closer to remove or maybe significantly reduce ageism beliefs. I think if we can do this thing, we can break the negative aging spiral and create something that can be called a positive aging spiral. Imagine a 50-year-old living in a developing country, but in this case, this person actually invests in their skill, this person actually invests in their health because they know this investment will be valued. And not only that, this person actually looking forward to the next journey in their lives. Then at the age of 60, senior citizens who are qualified to work or could become qualified to work because of senior employment technologies, and this person need or want to work, should be able to work. If we can do this, I think we can achieve and become a wealthy and healthy aging society. So by using these technologies, senior employment technologies, in which when we think about technologies, what we have, some technologies might seem scary, some might seem concerning, but I think senior employment technologies is the right kind of technologies that our world, our society needs more right now. And we can use senior employment technologies to transform and democratize senior employment from scarcity to abundance. And I think we can use it to transform the lives of many people from suffering through the process of population aging to flourishing in the process of population aging. Thank you very much.
Modern medicine and technology has helped us to live longer and healthier lives. But this also requires a greater need for financial solvency in harsh economic climates where millions of older workers are now incentivized to keep working, even past the age of 70, to make ends meet. According to a September 2023 report conducted by the Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies, over 2,000 retirees surveyed had a median of $73,000 in total household savings, excluding equity. And right behind them, workers aged 50 plus have put away a median of $133,000 in retirement accounts. Those numbers sound impressive up front, but for many retirees who are facing rising costs for healthcare and living expenses, that simply may not be enough money. This is especially true in the U.S. If we don't begin to consider alternative solutions, continued work might be more of a necessity than an option as aging populations enter their retirement age. Most conversations about tech for the retired focus on elder care, managing disabilities, and healthcare. So I was surprised by Dr. Piachat's thinking, using technology to enable folks to keep working. It's a bold argument, yet it makes me stop and think. Shouldn't we question a world that asks for ongoing production and productivity even past the age of utility? Retirees could be spending their time with their families or volunteering in the community or living their lives like my mom, able to decide each day what leisurely activity might bring her joy.
The average worker spends over 40 years earning a living, a world in which we are asking for more of our retirees, instead of providing a cushion for rest, must pause to question whether creating tools for greater economic productivity is an ethical choice. Earlier this year, an 80-year-old custodian at a Texas high school named Mr. James made headlines when students raised over $270,000 using TikTok in a GoFundMe campaign to send Mr. James home to enjoy his retirement. Before the campaign, Mr. James was forced to keep working because his rent had increased by $400. Instead of technology to work longer and with more help, perhaps we should use technology to do what the students of Kalisburg High School did. Send retired people like Mr. James home so that they can rest. And I also wonder, maybe we should be looking for solutions to get older folks' basic needs met so they can spend their well-earned retirement years however they wish. All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening. TED Tech is part of the TED Audio Collective. This episode was produced by Nina Lawrence, who also wrote it with me, Sherelle Dorsey. Our editor is Alejandre Salazar, and the show is fact-checked by Julia Dickerson. Our production coordinator is Farah DeGrunge. If you're enjoying the show, make sure to subscribe and leave us a review so other people can find us too. I'm Sherelle Dorsey. Let's keep digging into the future. Join me next week for more.